speaking of billionaires, you can look them all up on Wikipedia.
It's the last day I'm gonna fight.
Wikipedia. Isn't it easy just to get on the web and go to Wikipedia and see what Wikipedia says? It isn't always correct, of course. I think my own entry does or used to say that I was only one woman in cabinet in the first Howard ministry. That wasn't true. There were two of us. But, you know, small error. You know, they're 20 years old. 20 years old. In a business where so many big businesses come and go quite quickly. So that's something of an achievement. To talk about Wikipedia and what it means to us, we're going to be joined by Adam Wakeling. He's an Australian writer, lawyer and historian, and he's written a book about us, A House of Commons for a Den of Thieves, Australia's Journey from Penal Colony to Democracy. You can order it in bookshops. It's not available yet, but it's on the way. The printers are running, as they say. Adam Wakeling, welcome to Counterpoint.
Thanks, Amanda. It's great to be on the program.
20 years old. God, they're just out of their teens, really. Now, yes. Let's go back to the early encyclopedias. And you were talking about, in the article, the final volumes of Encyclopedia coming off the presses in 1766. Even though for subscribers, some of them would have ordered them in 1750, where they'd been promised 10 volumes over 5 years. That makes buying off the plan for an apartment look, you know, efficient.
Yes, the subscribers to Encyclopedia got a pretty difficult run. But on the other hand, they got far more content in there than they paid for originally. So suppose it shows that patience can be rewarded sometimes.
Well, it depends whether you believe everything comes to he who waits or whether you think patience is a virtue. Virtue is a grace and grace is a little girl who spits in your face. It depends how you look at patience, I suppose. But you tell us they got 28 volumes, over 70,000 articles. I mean, it's just unbelievable. In 1766, 70,000 articles and not too many contributors either. Roughly how many?
It was about 80 contributors. Still a huge number by the standards of the time. Nothing like Encyclopedia had ever been attempted before. So there had been encyclopedias sort of starting around about the 17th century, commercial encyclopedias, and the Jesuits in France maintained an encyclopedia. But Encyclopedia was much, much bigger and had a much wider scope than anything that had been attempted before, which obviously made me think of Wikipedia, because Encyclopedia at the time was groundbreaking. It was controversial. There were arguments over the accuracy of the information, over the quality of the information, whether it was biased, whether it had politics behind it. And of course, those are the same arguments we've seen today over Wikipedia.
An example of one of their early errors was a description of how humans lived in Sweden.
Yes. So there's a very interesting, by today's standards, article on the human species in Encyclopedia that was written by Denis Diderot in the 1750s or 1760s. And he makes a series of basically blatantly racist claims about people from different countries or different ethnicities. And he claims that the Swedes live underground, call the devil with a drum, and offer their wives and daughters to strangers. I found it funny because Sweden is in Europe. It wasn't on the far side of the world. So it wouldn't have been too hard for somebody to check that, or surely they must have been able to find a Swedish person in France to confirm that. But it goes to show that the quality of Encyclopedia was variable.
But nonetheless, the overall work is a pretty significant achievement.
Yeah, it's one of the great works of the French Enlightenment, Encyclopedia. As I said, it was unprecedented for the amount of information it brought, and particularly on topics which had not previously been considered like worth studying. Like Encyclopedia was one of the first works of literature to really look at crafts, look at manufacturing. Like previously, men of letters hadn't been interested in that sort of thing. So Encyclopedia was the first time you had academics going out to craftsmen, to manufacturers, and studying their work in detail and producing illustrations showing how things were manufactured. That sort of thinking was critical to the Industrial Revolution. If you didn't have that breaking down of the barrier between academic knowledge and actually working in the real world, you could not have had the Industrial Revolution and, you know, all of the conveniences of modern society.
And a number of the contributors ended up in jail because they said things that were heretical. In particular, it was a good reason to slam someone in the slammer. It's a bit of a trend today in the sense of putting people in jail because they do things people don't approve of.
Yes. Unfortunately for some of them ended up in jail by the ancien regime in France, and then some of them ended up guillotined in the revolution. So they really couldn't win either way.
No, not really much of a choice, is it? Good Lord. Okay, so we go on to Wikipedia. It's now one of the top websites in the world, one of the top 15, you say?
Yes. Obviously, it jumps up and down in the list from one day to the next, but it's always in sort of the top 10 to 15 websites.
And it is amazing, even if you use it semi-regularly. You can't help but be amazed at the sort of stupid questions you can ask. And Wikipedia will have something of an answer.
Yes, I've always been fascinated by Wikipedia for years now, which is why I ended up looking into it in more detail. I find it fascinating in that there's no real coordination. There are thousands of people working on it. And despite its many problems and drawbacks, it still comes out as a very usable product in the end. And like, we used to have to put up with being curious and having that curiosity keeping us awake at night because we couldn't remember something. We used to get into arguments with our friends about, you know, what happened when or who was in what movie or all that sort of thing. Now, that's all a thing of the past. Wikipedia it straight away. I mean, when I was a kid, I remember if I was curious about something, waiting for mum to be able to take me to the library. Now I can access far more information than a council library in my pocket.
That's fascinating, isn't it? You're on RN. This is Counterpoint. I'm Amanda Vanstone, and I'm talking with Adam Wakeling, an Australian lawyer and historian. We're talking about Wikipedia's birthday and the comparison or similarity, if you like, between it and Encyclopedia. Adam, you make the point that when Encyclopedia came out, it was the first crack in the wall. Lovely language you've used here. I'll quote it so people don't get my version. It put the first crack in the wall, which divided those who had knowledge from those who did not. And what, in itself, a marvellous achievement. Do you think Wikipedia has done that again, put the first crack in a very substantial one, in a bigger wall between, what can we say, academics maybe, specialists in certain fields? It certainly has let a wider group of people into a bigger pool of knowledge, hasn't it?
Yes. I mean, there are still many, many millions of people in the world today, particularly women and girls, who are denied access to education. And while obviously Wikipedia is not perfect in either the quantity or the accuracy or the way it's organized or the editorial process, if you can get access to a device with an internet connection, and assuming you can work your way around censorship by the government, if you live in one of the countries where Wikipedia is censored, like China or Iran, you can access a huge amount of information. Like, the quantity of information on Wikipedia exceeds what you would have found in an academic library 30 years ago. So it is remarkable that any person who can afford a phone with an internet connection can now access information that, say, 30 years ago, an academic wouldn't have had access to. And I find that quite remarkable.
Well, they've done well, haven't they? Because they've had to have some rules because, as you say, they've got an army of volunteer writers, so there have to be some rules and some standards imposed. What the product they've ended up with, as you say, is really pretty good.
Wikipedia itself actually makes it clear that people shouldn't treat it as a reliable source. So, for example, if you have symptoms, you shouldn't go onto Wikipedia and diagnose yourself with a disease. You should go to the doctor. You know, you shouldn't take what you read about living persons with a grain of salt. So you shouldn't read a quote attributed to somebody on Wikipedia, then go and spread that. But compared to how much misinformation is flying around the internet as we speak, on Facebook, on Twitter, on blogs, it's not a bad collection of information. And a lot of the articles are referenced well enough that you can trace back and find their original source. And while it used to be a bit of a free-for-all, they have imposed, as you say, more and more standards, particularly around articles about living people, which is topics. They've locked a lot of them down so people can't just go and vandalise them. Like, I always find it funny to go and look, say, at the editorial history of an article on, say, the Israel-Palestine conflict, so something which is a very, you know, contentious topic, you know, the editorial wars between supporters of the different sides, adding what they think should go in, taking out what they think should come out, and eventually the editors locking the article down and trying to find some sort of final form.
You point out that a survey in 2016 found that one-third of people in the United States couldn't name a single right guaranteed under the First Amendment, and go on to point out that there's no helping the willfully ignorant. You might be a bit harsh there. Maybe it's just the take-it-for-granted people.
Some of those people are not willfully ignorant. Some of them just haven't paid attention. So there are people, though, who are willfully ignorant, and no matter how much information you offer them, they won't learn.
That's true. The willfully ignorant will not be helped by a Wikipedia or anything else. But for the curious, there is Wikipedia, and it does do a pretty good job. I think you've done a pretty good job in reminding us of its birthday, no big deal a birthday, but more to the point, how similar it is to the early encyclopedias. I mean, okay, it's not a book you can put in a library, but it is something that anyone can access. And I agree with you. Three cheers for Wikipedia. Thank you very much, Adam Wakeling, for joining us on Counterpoint.
Thanks, Amanda.